Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Extreme Economies, What Life at the World's Margins Can Teach Us, About Our Own Future is a work of narrative economics by Richard Davies, a British economist and journalist with experience at The Economist, the London School of Economics, and HM Treasury. The book asks how economies operate when normal conditions are absent, damaged, or accelerated. Instead of beginning with wealthy financial centers or abstract models, Davies travels to marginal settings shaped by imprisonment, forced migration, weak state capacity, rapid digitization, demographic aging, and urban deprivation. His purpose is not simply to describe hardship, but to show how people build exchange, trust, credit, work, and social order under pressure. The book combines reportage, economic interpretation, and travel writing, making it accessible to general readers while still engaging with serious questions about development, institutions, resilience, and the future of capitalism. Its central claim is that extreme cases can reveal economic mechanisms that ordinary statistics often hide. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, studying economic outliers as a method for understanding normal economies. A defining feature of extreme economies is its methodological argument that economists can learn from outliers in the same way medical researchers learn from unusual cases. Davies suggests that places under severe stress expose economic functions that remain hidden in ordinary settings. In a stable economy, money, trust, public services, law, transport, and information may appear to operate naturally. In an extreme economy, one or more of these supports is missing or distorted, so the underlying mechanisms become easier to see. This approach challenges economic analysis that relies mainly on national averages, standard indicators, or idealized market assumptions. By focusing on prisons, refugee settlements, cities with weak infrastructure, digital states, and aging communities, Davies asks what people do when formal systems fail to provide what markets and governments usually promise. The value of the method lies in comparison. A prison economy reveals the demand for exchange even when money is banned. A refugee camp shows how enterprise can emerge before legal permanence exists. A digital state shows how institutions can be rebuilt around data and identity. These cases are not presented as exact forecasts, but as concentrated versions of pressures that many societies may increasingly face. Secondly, informal exchange and social capital as foundations of economic life. The book repeatedly shows that economic activity does not disappear when formal systems are restricted. It adapts through informal rules, trusted relationships, substitutes for money, and improvised financial infrastructure. Davies uses settings such as a Louisiana prison and large refugee communities to illustrate how people create systems of exchange, even when official markets are limited or legally constrained. These examples are important because they show that economic life depends on more than prices and contracts. It also depends on reputation, repeated interaction, shared expectations, and the ability to judge who can be trusted. Social capital becomes a practical asset, not a vague moral quality. Where people lack bank accounts, property rights, or stable employment, they often rely on kinship networks, community knowledge, small-scale credit, barter, or alternative stores of value. Davies does not romanticize these systems, since they can be unequal, risky, or vulnerable to exploitation. However, he treats them as evidence that humans are institution builders. The broader implication is that policy focused only on formal regulation or macroeconomic indicators can miss the actual mechanisms through which vulnerable people survive. Informal systems may be fragile, but they reveal the economic importance of trust before formal legality. Thirdly, urban failure reveals the economic cost of weak public infrastructure. Extreme economies pays close attention to cities where population, energy, and enterprise exist, but the public systems needed to convert them into broad prosperity remain inadequate. Kinshasa is one of the book's most prominent examples of unrealized urban potential. Davies is interested in why a major city can contain intense commercial activity while still failing to deliver reliable water, transport, sanitation, electricity, and security for many residents. The economic point is that markets do not operate in isolation. A shopkeeper, driver, worker, or household faces costs shaped by roads, policing, health systems, access to clean water, and the predictability of public authority. When these systems are weak, people spend time and money solving basic problems privately, often at higher cost and lower quality. This reduces productivity and limits the scale at which businesses can grow. The book therefore connects everyday inconvenience to structural economic failure. Buying water in small quantities, navigating poor transport, or relying on informal protection are not merely signs of poverty. They are mechanisms that keep poverty expensive. Davies distinguishes human energy from institutional effectiveness. A city may be full of initiative, but without dependable public goods. individual effort cannot easily become sustained development. Fourthly, displacement and crisis show how resilience is built, not inherited. Davies treats refugees, migrants, and communities recovering from shocks as central economic subjects rather than peripheral victims. In doing so, he reframes resilience as a set of practices developed under constraint. People displaced by war, disaster, or economic collapse often lose property, legal status, employment, and access to familiar institutions. Yet they still need income, childcare, transport, education, credit, and social coordination. The book shows that economic reconstruction often begins before formal recovery plans are complete. Small businesses, service networks, remittances, mutual aid, and improvised markets appear because daily needs cannot wait for administrative clarity. This is one of the book's strongest contributions to development, thinking it shows that crisis economies are not empty spaces awaiting expert design. They already contain knowledge, incentives, and organizational capacity. At the same time, Davies avoids presenting resilience as a substitute for justice or policy. Adaptation under pressure can keep people alive, but it can also normalize insecurity and shift burdens onto those with the least power. The policy implication is balanced. Governments and aid organizations should recognize local economic initiative, but they should also provide the legal rights, infrastructure, and stability that allow such initiative to become durable prosperity rather than permanent survival. Lastly, digital states and aging societies as previews of future economic pressures. The book does not limit extremes to poverty or breakdown. Davies also examines places where specific future trends have arrived early, such as advanced digital governance and unusually old populations. Estonia functions as an example of an economy that has pushed public services, identity systems, and administrative life into digital form more aggressively than most states. This case helps Davies ask how trust, citizenship, security, and efficiency change when government becomes deeply dependent on data infrastructure. The lesson is not that every country should simply copy Estonia, but that digital capacity can reshape the cost and speed of economic coordination. By contrast, parts of Japan with very old populations show a different kind of frontier. Aging changes labor supply, healthcare demand, consumption, housing, and community life. It forces societies to rethink productivity, care work, and the meaning of economic participation when a large share of citizens are elderly. These examples widen the book's argument beyond crisis. An extreme economy can be one that is technologically accelerated or demographically advanced, not only one that is poor or broken. Davies uses such cases to suggest that the future will not arrive evenly. Some places already live with conditions that others will later confront. In conclusion, Extreme Economies is best suited to readers who want economics grounded in observation rather than equations alone. It will appeal to general readers interested in global affairs, development, cities, migration, technology, and the social consequences of economic change. It is also useful for students, policymakers, and professionals who want to think beyond conventional indicators such as GDP, unemployment, or inflation. The practical benefit of the book is that it trains readers to look for the hidden infrastructure of economic life: trust, identity, public goods, informal credit, legal status, and social networks. Intellectually, it shows why marginal cases can clarify mainstream problems. Many books about the global economy focus on financial markets, national policy, inequality, or technological disruption in wealthy societies. Davies stands out by moving the center of analysis to places usually treated as exceptions. His cases are vivid, but they are not included only for color. They are used to test what economies need in order to survive, fail, or adapt. The result is a distinctive hybrid of reportage and economic reasoning. Its main limitation is that readers seeking formal models or detailed quantitative proof may find the argument more interpretive than technical. Its strength is that it makes economic systems visible through lived conditions at the edge. If you would like to support Richard Davies, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.